I'm going to do something a little different this evening, inspired by two main things. One is some feedback that I received from our new temple president in New Vrindavan. His name is Jayakrishna Prabhu. Before being the president in New Vrindavan, Jayakrishna was the CEO or the president, the leading administrator of the Bhaktivedanta College in Radhadesh. And he took it from a situation where it was struggling to it's very strong in a few years. He's a very, very, very capable person. Swiss by birth and intelligent by his nature. So he's now in New Vrindavan for 3 years as the temple president. And during the Festival of Inspiration, he was one of the presenters. How many here went to the Festival of Inspiration in New Vrindavan? So he was asked by the organizers, I guess Malati, to make a presentation on something that he had done for the GBC in strategic planning. Strategic planning is a corporate term, but we used it for ISKCON over the past... Oh, I forgot to tell you. I went to a wedding yesterday at the Brooklyn Temple, and the first thing Brahma Muhurta did, the priest, he said, please turn your cell phones into the off position. This is a Vedic wedding. No cell phones allowed. Okay. So if you have a phone, please check. And even said, oh, pull it out, just double check and make sure it's in vibrating. You better check mine because it'd be very So he made a presentation on succession of leaders, and I'll go into that in a moment, but the feedback that he was expecting, very few people will have interest in this, maybe half a dozen, maybe 10 people max, out of the whole big Festival of Inspiration group, because there were some other good presenters that were same times, and there were about 25, 30 people that came. He was very surprised. And they had a lot of interest. And they had two things to say. One was, are there ways, I'm a householder, I have a family, I have a job, I can't do full-time service to help the leadership, succession of leadership effort, but is there something that I can do on a part-time basis from my home? A lot of interest. The second thing was in the course of his presentation, he shared what some of the other planning of our future, we'll use that, strategic planning, just looking into the future and what do we see, what do we want to see, what do we want our organization to be. And he shared with them many, many things that are going on, and they said, wow, we didn't know all those things were going on. How can we get information about all those things that are going on? So that inspired me to share with you some of the things that are going on. What I'm going to be doing is reading to you several pages of Srila Prabhupada's instructions. So that's the devotional part. But this is, aside from what inspired Jayakrishna to say, you know, people need to know, they would like to know what's going on. Because we have a very strong organization worldwide. Madhuri Narayan Prabhu made a presentation that lasted for an hour and a half of what's going on in the world of ISKCON today that you probably don't have a clue about because no one's informing you. But many amazing things. I'll tell you just one of them. that's really nice. It's something close, because I, part of my service is I visit China. When David King said I travel around the world, it's true. China's part of the world, a big part of the world. I haven't been to all of China, but I've been to a lot of places in China. And so get ready for a big cheer. For 12 years, the DBT has been working on an arrangement with the Chinese government to get permission from the Chinese government to print. They got permission to print back the Bhagavad Gita, but they just signed a contract with, it's a publishing company, but it's the government. You know China. The publishing company that's on behalf of the government, the government. They signed a contract with that publishing company that they, at their expense, they will publish Srimad Bhagavatam in Chinese, and they will distribute Srimad Bhagavatam in Chinese, and they haven't changed one word in the whole Srimad Bhagavatam of Srila Prabhupada, 12 cantos. And think of the population. Think of 1/4 of the world's population is now, government is going to promote Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam. That's big. If you had it, I mean, you have something of an idea, but if you had a close idea of what the Chinese government, the game that they play, and that they signed that contract, that's big. It has something to do with acceptance of ISKCON, because they know the connection between the BBT and ISKCON, and they signed the contract with the BBT. We're not recognized by the Chinese government yet. I can't talk too much about that. But anyway, there's many wonderful things happening. Many, many wonderful things. But I'm just going to share with you some in my role, because I am your friendly GBC representative for New Jersey. And it's part of my duty as your GBC representative to annually, we have meetings in Mayapur, and share with you the outcome of those meetings. But I don't do that. I just send it out. It's posted. It's on the internet. You can, if you know how to, everybody knows how to use the internet. If you don't, ask a kid and they'll tell you. And you can read the GBC resolution. So I'm not going to review this year's GBC resolutions, but I will describe something that happened at our GBC meeting this year that's very important in my estimation. But I'll give you a little background first. In 2006, that's 5 years ago, the chairman of our GBC executive committee, named Bhakti Vaibhav Swami from Germany, he was the chairman, he was looking around, seeing within the past few years, Tumal Krishnamaraj, very stalwart leader in our movement, is gone. Sridhar Swami, Prabhupada Sannyas disciple, as Tumal Krishnamaraj, gone. Bhakti Tirtha Swami, gone. And others, gone. So like looking around the room at the GBC table thinking, how much longer will the rest of us be here? And what should we be doing today that's going to make sure that the legacy of ISKCON continues into the future, as Prabhupada gave it to us, because we directly, Prabhupada disciples, directly had that experience of being with Prabhupada. So he started thinking like that, then he started talking about it, and then some discussions took place, formal discussions took place, and a special meeting of the GBC was called. If that hadn't been done since 1980 or something like that. So, you know, it was a special meeting. It was held in Italy. And all the GBC members attended. it was a three-day meeting. The first day was a session of going around the room and asking the following question. Other than the GBC being a group of zonal secretaries that they look after their zones, what's the GBC supposed to be doing globally? What's our, do we have a duty globally? So I'm your GBC zonal secretary. I have responsibility for you all and what happens and stuff. What about global? Is there some duty that we have globally? Like anything? So we went around the room. And I can tell you that there was a gloom in the room at the end because we knew that there was something, but we didn't have a clear idea what that something was. And it was ominously blank, silent. It was very uncomfortable. The first day was really uncomfortable. So the next day, we did a brainstorming session where, you know, big sheets of paper, flip chart sheets. What are some of the things that we should be doing? Just, you know, one of those. Just write things down, as they come up, write things down. And then we spent some time categorizing. Are there some headliners that under which several of these items fit? You've done this before. I need you that an organization. And then, you know, refine them, the language of them, and then identify GBC members who would like to work on one of those global things. So I can tell you what some of those things were. One was, ISKCON should have a constitution. It's a novel idea. Prabhupada said it many times, and it was never done. And who's going to do it if the GBC doesn't do it? So a constitution committee was formed. Then another one, succession of leaders. We looked around the room, as Bhakti Vaibhav Maharaj did, and said, how long will all of us be here? How long will any of us be here? Do we have a plan to see that those that are in the room today will have someone following them, and then those persons will have somebody following them, and so on, succession of leaders. So that was another committee. Succession of Leaders Committee. That was the one that Jai Krishna eventually took leadership of and is still the leader of. Here's another one. Srila Prabhupada's unique position in ISKCON. We all know what that is. In 50 years from now, is everyone going to know what that is as we understand it? What should we be doing today to ensure that there's a clear understanding like that? Prabhupada's unique position. Committee. Preaching committee. Outreach. That's been a very lively one. I'll more on that in a moment. Here's an interesting one. Parallel lines of authority. I'll explain. Because I've done this presentation in Chinese, in China. I said, and the PowerPoint was translated into Chinese. So I said, and somebody read it out in Chinese and translated it for me. But during Prabhupada's time, there was one. The governance and the spiritual authority was in one person. Srila Prabhupada was the final authority on anything about doctrine, about spiritual standards, you know, the spiritual side, spiritual authority. And then managerial authority. Prabhupada set up the GBC, but he was on top of the GBC. They were answerable to him. And if any issue came up, he wanted the GBC or below to work it out, but he was the final authority. Now Prabhupada left, and the GBC had, so there's this governance authority. Very clear. Prabhupada, GBC body, GBC zonal secretary, temple president, and whatever structure the president has under him. secretary, treasurer, department head, maybe a council, whatever there is. Governance structure. Then over here, there's the guru. And the guru naturally, by scripture, has some authority, spiritual authority, over the disciple. So now here's the disciple, who is also a devotee in the governance structure. And now he's got the spiritual master authority, and he's got the governance structure authority. Parallel lines of authority. With a multiple guru system, as Srila Prabhupada wanted, how does this work? So a committee was set up to discuss, and it's a really strong committee, really good committee, and they're moving slowly and carefully with lots of communication because it's a sensitive topic. So that's another committee. They haven't, as yet, over the period of some number of years, 3-4 years, they have a paper that's getting refined and refined, and one day you'll get it in your inbox. And you'll have a chance to look it over before it's finalized, because we want feedback from people that, does this make sense to you? Is there something that you'd like to see presented differently or something? So, planning our future, I'll say it two ways. One was looking into the future. Today, we have in ISKCON, would you like to guess how many temples we have in ISKCON today? 550, 560 temples. That's a lot of temples to look after. Not just Namahattas and preaching centers, that's not part of the 550. Bhakti Bhikshu groups. Temples, deities, property, temples. So look into the future 50 years from now, 75 years from now, keep going. Growth. We have thousands of temples. Thousands of temples. What do we want our society to be like? That was the exercise. Not sky's the limit, you know, within reasonable limit, but with a growth perspective. So another way of looking at it was two things. More devotees, happier devotees. Real simple. We want more devotees, we want happier devotees. What do we need to do to achieve that? And other things that Prabhupada expected the GBC to do. Property protection, financial accountability, and so forth. So, that was Italy 2006. And we thought, this is really important. Let us set aside 3 days out of the days that we meet at our annual general meeting in Mayapur and have 3 days of more of the same. Planning our future, continuing this work. And have the committees do some work in between to make some reports. And it was really good. We said, let's have another summertime meeting. We went to Italy. Where do we want to go next? We went to Juhu. Juhu very graciously hosted all of us. Gave us rooms, took care of accommodations, took care of us like babies. We were really nicely taken care of. And at their expense, we just, our airfare, and they took care of us. So, we continued that pattern over a few years, and it started to grow. It wasn't just GBC members, it was people interested in these different things. And some of those different things spun off into other things. Like, I'll give one example, the preaching. It started with thinking book distribution, but then the fruit of book distribution is more devotees. So let's talk about how we're going to take care of those more devotees before we try to go out and get more devotees. So that started a whole group called Devotee Care. And that's the biggest group. A lot of people are interested in devotee care. Like there's 30 people not just DBC people. It's all kinds of people from all over the world, from the Middle East and from all over the world. Australia and Europe and India and America and all over the world. And they're really fired up, that group. They have regular conference calls. They have a website. They have a quarterly publication. They plan where they're going to do their seminars for devotee care. And they're organized. They're doing a lot to help the quality of our organization coming out of this strategic planning talk. So other categories, other personalities. So then the organizer, facilitator of this is Gopal Bhatta. Skipping some details. With some Krishna's arrangement, he had a flight where the person next to him, you know, was there, got into a conversation. He said, what do you do? And he said, I work on strategic planning. I'm a consultant for construction. He said, wow, well, here's what I'm doing. And the fellow said, I think what you need to do is you need to get more people involved. It's going, but it's not going quickly. You want to go more quickly, get more people involved. So we had a meeting with 70, other than the existing, an extra 75. So like Juhu hosted, I don't know, 150 of us for the strategic planning. And it was really good. So we had another one in Mayapur. It was really good. Now the next one is ISKCON Leadership Sangha, where all leaders in the whole world are invited to Mayapur. All temple presidents, sannyasis, gurus, and invited guests. Come on. Join us. And become part of this planning of our future. Things that you can do that you can take back to your home. Things that you can do to help us make a better quality effort in all of what we're trying to do. Those groups were asked and they sent back to the strategic planning team, a very active group, how these extra people can fit into their initiative groups, some work they can give them to do, because we don't want just people to come and, you know, blah, blah. We want them to do some work. So they're going to give them some work to do, to help, you know, things that they want to do that they don't have the time to do because they need more people and more time to do it. So it's I'm letting you know that it's growing. I want you to know that the GBC are thinking, not in an ivory tower, but they're thinking in immediate communication with the strongest leaders we can find in the whole of ISKCON to help make our organization better and stronger going into the future with the model of growth, but at the same time maintaining standards that Prabhupada gave us. It's really exciting. So how you can get more information about this, if you'd like, they probably have a website, I don't know what it is, but if you go to isconnews.com, they are posting things that what's going on with strategic planning. And you'll like that group that met with Jai Krishna Prabhu in Vrindavan at the Festival of Inspiration. Go to isconnews.com and find out what's going on. And if you like something, you like to find out more about something, write to them. And maybe they'll give you some volunteer service to do or something. At least just be informed. So you know that our movement is not just what's happening here in Old Bridge, but what's going on in the world of ISKCON. It's very dynamic, exciting time. Now, when we have our meetings, this is another little inside information for all of you that don't come to Mayapur or to Juhu for a midterm meeting, I'll tell you what happens. The strategic planning group is allotted 4 days. 3 days for strategic planning, 1 day for team building, and they kind of like need that time for strategic planning because it's kind of subsumed it. But then there's something that precedes that. It's called Organization Development Committee. It's part of, I'm just learning this language, but some of you that are corporate folks, you know it already. It's a systems model where things that how are we going to plan for growth? That goes over to these guys, the Organization Development Group. They're just serving the GBC. And one issue I can tell you, one issue that we're addressing presently is in Srila Prabhupada's will, the first item in Srila Prabhupada's will says, the GBC shall be the ultimate managing authority for the entire International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Organization Development Committee was asked by the GBC to explain that. What does it mean? Does it mean spiritual only? Does it include legal oversight? If so, where does it begin, where does it end? Because Prabhupada put other things in place. We have, like here in central New Jersey, we have a board of directors. We have a corporation. According to corporate law, they're in charge of this thing here, ISKCON Central New Jersey. They have fiduciary responsibilities. What's the role of the GBC with all of that? For example, that's locally. Then globally, what's the role of the GBC as the ultimate managing authority for ISKCON? So that's a nice question. And we're spending a lot of time trying to to leave behind us a nice document that in the future people have, a blueprint. This is what it means. Referencing what Prabhupada said, what Prabhupada did, room conversations, instructions, and then, etc. Without the detail. So when we have our meetings in Mayapur, it's on the top floor. It's called the GBC meeting room. That's the name of it. It's hardly used for anything else other than our GBC meetings once a year. It's used for some other things. So after the morning program, we have breakfast. And after breakfast, we come upstairs to the GBC meeting room. And we have kirtan in front of a Prabhupada Murti. He's presiding over our meeting. 10-minute, 15-minute kirtan, lively kirtan. And then we sit down at a little table, a long round table. And there are guests outside, invited guests. Different people come. And then we have this rule. So I'll repeat the rule after, just before the begin meeting, but complete silence. No shuffling papers, no side conversation. We're not going to read Prabhupada's instructions until we can literally hear a pin drop in the room. Complete reverential attention, because Srila Prabhupada is going to instruct us how we should lead this society. We want to hear from him so we can be in that right mood and right understanding. So for the strategic planning session, Lakshmi Moni Mataji was given the assignment by the strategic planning team to take four topics, because there's 4 days. And what she told me she spent like 5-6 hours preparing each of the days, not like a quick thing. It was a meditation on headlines. The four headlines: cooperation, results orientation, taking risks, Krishna consciousness is joyful. So the meditation was, we're an assembled group of GBC members. In this case, you're an assembled group of persons who, after the GBC, present GBC members are gone, the Prabhupada disciples are no longer with you, you will be leading this movement. And Prabhupada is instructing you what you need to do in order to lead this movement. You may not be in the GBC seat, but you're going to be leading this movement. That day will come when you'll be doing that. And this is instruction from our founder Acharya to you, not somebody else that's not in the room or the person next to you, but you, whatever each of you are, to take, you know, instruction from our founder Acharya how to carry forward his mission. And the first one is what I chose to speak about this evening, in part because it's the first one that we read from, and another is, it's something that Srila Prabhupada personally said many times, but again repeated it just before his departure, some days before his departure, where, famous quote, you've all heard it before, your love for me will be demonstrated by how much you cooperate with one another after I'm gone. I'll say it again, it's nice. Your love for me will be demonstrated by how much you cooperate with one another after I'm gone. Because in the hours of Srila Prabhupada's departure, there was such feelings of love and feelings of separation for our beloved spiritual master. And he was departing. And we knew it, and he knew that we knew it, and he was giving us the instruction, your love for me will be demonstrated by how much you cooperate with one another after I'm gone. Because this is Kali Yuga, and it's one of the biggest challenges, if not the biggest challenge, is to not quarrel, to be cooperative in the age of Kali. Big challenge. Because the tendency is, as Prabhupada writes in his books, to quarrel over nothing. Or quarrel over trifles. And then big strife over trifles. Because it's the age of Kali. It's the influence of that personality upon the souls in this age. So to take this instruction is, it's our love for Prabhupada to do so. It's a demonstration of our love. It's the reason for doing so. We can give plenty of reasons for not doing so. But the reason for doing so is because Prabhupada instructed us to do so. And our love for him is to do so. So now, these aren't in order. This is a series of letters, messages, room conversations, different things, but it's stitched together in such a way it sounds like one flowing conversation. So hear it that way. And this is Srila Prabhupada. You can, if you like, close your eyes and imagine you're seated before our founder Acharya, and he wants you to know how you in the future can carry forward this movement nicely. Because it will be in your hands. And he knows that he'll be gone. After I'm gone, it's in your hands. Please do it nicely. And this principle of cooperation will facilitate your doing it nicely. Okay, so we'll be real quiet so we can hear a pin drop on the rug. So very meditative mood. Listen very carefully. Our founder Acharya is addressing us. I am also glad to note that a meeting of all the presidents was held just recently in order to unify the temples. That is the process. Unless we work cooperatively, how is this movement to go on? So my request to you all is that you maintain that spirit of cooperation always. And help me to deliver Lord Chaitanya's message all over the globe. So I thank you very much, all of you, for appreciating my humble service, which I am trying to render as a matter of duty, ordered by my Guru Maharaj. I request all my disciples to work cooperatively, and I am sure our mission will advance without any doubt. I am very glad that you are trying, with all the other GBC members, to maintain all the various functions of our very large organization up to the standard as I have set for you. This is most important. So please, always work cooperatively for this end. You write to describe me as a loving servant of the Lord. If you believe me so, then kindly help me in my service. This will help both of us. I want your cooperation fully. Lord Chaitanya, although Krishna himself appealed to his friends and helpers to help him in his mission, and what to speak of me? I am just an ordinary human being. So, I need your help. Now our society is growing very rapidly all over the world, and the burden of administration is taxing me too much and taking too much time. So I want that you all GBC men work cooperatively to manage things now, along with the other officers. And it is better if devotees can address their questions to you. And because I have now given you everything, you are able to answer all such questions from what you know. And if there is any difficulty, you may consult my books. Or you may write me if necessary. Good manager means he is able to satisfy everyone and live in cooperative manner with all the devotees. So if you manage things nicely, every devotee can do tremendous work. By association with undesirable companions, we have learned so many bad habits. And similarly, by association with pure persons or devotees, we can become purified of our acquired bad habits. So, constant association and working cooperatively with devotees is the prime and easy method to relearn our original good habit of Krishna consciousness. Now we are growing. And if we work cooperatively, our strength will also grow. And then the mission will not be checked in its progress. Please also continue to cooperatively join with the Philadelphia Temple and the other temples for spreading Krishna consciousness by Mahasankirtan. Festivals like Janmashtami Festival to be celebrated at New Vrindavan. I want that all my students will cooperate fully for expanding our movement, and in this way, every center will be benefited. Please, always keep the association of your good God brothers and sisters and work very cooperatively with them for pushing on this movement. If you are always engaged seriously in Krishna's service, Krishna will give you all opportunity for advancing in Krishna consciousness or blissful spiritual life. Study our literatures carefully and try to understand the philosophy nicely. And if you have any questions, you can ask them of the elder devotees who know the science. I have duly chanted the beads sent by you, and they return to you herewith. Please always follow very strictly the regular principles and chant 16 rounds of Maha Mantra daily on the beads. Study our literatures attentively and try to understand the philosophy nicely with the help of your God brothers. Always work cooperatively to spread Krishna consciousness movement and chant Hare Krishna and your life will be sublime. I have heard from others that you are doing very nicely and that you are making life members also. That is very good news to me. I am making many sannyasis here in America. And I am convinced that our movement must run on this extensive traveling and preaching system. So, you work cooperatively how to perform this valuable service in the best way by utilizing all our men and time very wisely. Push on vigorously, especially in the matter of distributing our literatures widely throughout India and showing always good example of real Krishna conscious life. I received one telephone call from Giriraj, and he has informed me that there is some disagreement amongst you leaders there in our Bombay center. This is not at all a pleasant situation for anyone. I am entrusting this huge task to all of you for working together cooperatively, for doing something wonderful. I can understand that you are responsible and cool-headed along with the others. So you take the hand in reconciling differences. Now you are my elder disciples. And both of you are sannyasis and also advanced in Krishna consciousness, so these questions should not arise amongst you again and again. That means everyone is not conscientious. These things are not new to you. Why do you continually ask these questions? The GBUC authority must be accepted under all circumstances, not that there will be fighting amongst you. This fighting spirit will destroy everything. But what can I do? You American and European boys are trained up in this fighting attitude. Now put it aside and simply work cooperatively for spreading this movement all over the world. The standards I have already given you, now try to maintain them at all times under standard procedure. Do not try to innovate or create anything or manufacture anything. That will ruin everything. Simply do as I am doing and be always serious and sincere to serve Krishna, and he will give you intelligence how to do everything. I thank you very much for installing Radha Giridhari. From my childhood, I was very fond of Radha Krishna, and now my good disciples are helping me to open so many Radha Krishna temples all over the world. It gives me so much pleasure. Now introduce Rath Yatra. That was my childhood activity. I want to see my disciples all over the world introduce two items: opening Radha Krishna temples and Rath Yatra festivals. Do this under the protection of Guru Gauranga. Please do everything cooperatively, for you'll be happy, your countrymen will be happy, and all living entities will be happy. If one waters the root, then all the branches, twigs, and leaves are automatically nourished. That is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Now, I want all of you to work cooperatively, and very frankly, that is our process. Not that we shall always plot and scheme and write letters. Madhuvisa is GBC man for South Pacific Zone. So his direction must be followed by everyone. And all of the devotees there should address their problems to him for his consideration. Try to convince them to return to our society and work cooperatively. That they have gone away is not a good thing. And it is a deviation from our line of parampara. Rather, avoiding fault-finding and anarchy, they should keep our standards and work maturely and not cause factions and splitting. I'm not at all pleased at what they have done. But if they return, let us forget what has happened and go forward. As sannyasins, they may preach and you may manage affairs. That will be very nice. We have got so much vital spiritual knowledge to distribute to the public, and they are in desperate need of it. The whole world is going to hell, and everyone is suffering. In light of this, how can we argue amongst one another and neglect our responsibility for reclaiming these fallen souls from going back home, back to Godhead? Whatever is done is done. The main thing is we must not carry grudges or continue to quarrel amongst one another. So I'm asking you, personally, along with Dhamma Krishna Goswami, to whom I'm sending a copy of this letter, to bury the hatchet. You've heard that term before? Bury the hatchet? No. Some yes, some no. It's an American Indian term.
I know.
I'll explain. You know a different explanation? The American Indian one? Okay. What I know is, in Europe, there was a system of one chivalrous prince would take off his glove and throw down his glove, throw the gauntlet. There shall be a fight. That's what it means. So, throw down the hatchet. There was two warring parties. They would throw the hatchet. That means declare war. Then they would assemble and fight. Bury the hatchet was peace. So ceremoniously, just as the throwing the hatchet, dig a hole, put the hatchet in the ground, bury the hole, bury the hatchet. Then the special thing is forget where you buried the hatchet. Don't go back and dig it up again and start fighting again. So Prabhupada's borrowing from this American Indian expression, bury the hatchet. Same as you know? Same. So I'm asking you personally, along with Tamal Krishna Goswami, to whom I'm sending a copy of this letter, to bury the hatchet and join together to push on this movement cooperatively. I am requesting you, therefore, to concentrate on preaching and kirtan and work cooperatively with Tamal Krishna Goswami, who is in charge there. Whatever imperfections and discrepancies may exist, if you all agree to my directions and cooperate in the right spirit, then everything will turn out, and it will require everyone involved to be responsible and cooperate in executing and following the instructions of the spiritual master. Pushing on this movement, I had to face so many difficulties throughout since I left my home. I lived in Delhi at Sakur Basti because the rent was cheaper there, and I could not even take an apartment in Delhi. Then I was provided a room at Shippingwala, Radha Krishna Temple, wherein I was able to keep my publication office. But, by Krishna's grace, we are situated on a standard footing now. Let us maintain this position cooperatively and always pray to Krishna that we may not spoil what Krishna has already given us, to try to make improvement more and more. Just a few more passages. In regards to your question about how the relationship between a sannyasi and the temple president should be, my hope is that you will be able to cooperate together. The temple president is in charge, and the sannyasi should not contradict the instructions. Although, if he does see something wrong, or if he sees a fault or defect, he should bring it out directly to the temple president and then work it out in a Krishna-conscious way. Not that he will try to override the temple president's authority. I want that you all work together cooperatively. Now we have, by Krishna's grace, built up something significant in the shape of this ISKCON, and we are all one family. Sometimes there may be disagreement and quarrel, but we should not go away. These inebrieties can be adjusted by the cooperative spirit, tolerance, and maturity. So I request you to kindly remain in the association of our devotees and work together. The test of our actual dedication and sincerity to serve the spiritual master will be in this mutual cooperative spirit to push on this movement and not make factions and deviate. So, we shall not think that this is my zone, that is his zone, just like the Indian and Pakistan nations are thinking. And then there is war. No. Lord Chaitanya has given us the task to spread his message all over the world, and any process which may be useful for facilitating this business, that we shall gladly adopt, never mind his zone or my zone, that is material designation. But we shall always do everything in cooperative spirit and avoid any fighting amongst us, that is Vaishnava attitude, because Lord Chaitanya has advised us to always offer all respects to others, especially to the devotees of the Lord. Concluding. Ours is a cooperative movement where Krishna and the advancement of Krishna's movement is at the center. And we must continue to sell as many books as possible, but discuss everything amongst yourselves and do it nicely without irritating anyone. That is the art. Please do your duty combinedly without any disruption of peaceful attitudes amongst yourselves. We are pushing our movement on the background of a peaceful atmosphere in the world, and if we show a little disturbance in our own camp, that will not be a very good example. Therefore, everyone should be forbearing, tolerant, and cooperative. That is my special request to you all. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. These letters weren't just written to GBC members. They were written to all kinds of people. I was reading these about a month and a half ago in Seattle, and Yadavar Prabhu. You know who Yadavar is? Following Srila Prabhupada, the video, DVD series. You've seen it? Yes? No? Yes, it's wonderful. He's a filmmaker. And the letter that Prabhupada wrote where he said, there's quarrel in Bombay, you try to settle it. You know Yadavar's personality, he's like Mr. Mild. You know, gentle, brahminical, mild, very, very mild-mannered Yadavar. So Prabhupada, I'm making this point because Prabhupada was writing the letter to him. At that time he was a conscientious person as he is now, so he was the secretary of ISKCON Jubal, but you know his proficiency is not like getting in there and getting people who are hot-headed to be cool. The Prabhupada was calling upon him to do that. With that in mind, I'm saying, while this is addressed to persons who are taking some different leadership roles, the expectation that Prabhupada had was that all of his members, as all of you, take responsibility, personal responsibility, to carry forward your services, whatever is you're assigned to you and you've accepted, to help more devotees, happier devotees' mission. These instructions are appropriate because there's always something, as Queen Kunti presents in her prayers to Lord Krishna. It happens just due to social, she uses the term social intercourse, just due to like trees in a bamboo forest. The wind blows. What happens? What's that? It's the wind blowing in the bamboo forest, that's all it is. I've heard that sound in Mayapur. We're on the Navadvipa Parikrama, you know, bamboo forest, the wind blows, and wow, it sounds. Wow, that's the banging of bamboos. Do they glow? They grow closely together, and when the wind blows, it happens. Big sound. And sometimes from the big sound, there's a spark. And sometimes the spark falls on the dry leaves on the ground, and sometimes there's a fire. Yes. You go put up fire. So sometimes because we're closely interacting, the wind blows and something happens. And the instruction of our spiritual master is these very wonderful instructions: be patient, be tolerant, and continue to work cooperatively. Stay close to the principles that govern the proper behavior of a Vaishnava, and look to those who are the senior members in the assembly of Vaishnavas. Someday some of you will be those senior members, and you'll be called upon to do the same thing, to address concerns that, you know, how we can work cooperatively together for this wonderful message and offering this wonderful message to others. There's one thing that I've learned about leadership in ISKCON. It happens at all levels. It's not, you know, somebody up here. It's the training of the devotees is just one of the main reasons for taking this time on a Sunday evening to read all these things, is to provide us an opportunity to directly hear Prabhupada's instructions in this matter. And that hearing the instructions means to try to carry them out as part of our training in Krishna consciousness. So you're trying to locally establish a permanent Radha Krishna temple. Very clearly something that Prabhupada wanted. His blessings are with you. Know it. From what we just read. To achieve it, that's some work. And some work, then there's many hands are needed to make it accomplished. And a lot of cooperation, because, you know, this is Kali Yuga, and things happen the way we don't expect them to happen. And how do we address ourselves to that? It's the test of our love for Prabhupada. To continue with this work that he's given, and our leadership here has accepted, and all of you have accepted, we want a nice temple to worship Krishna. So, in the day-to-day process of getting there, taking these instructions seriously means you'll get there. And the converse, not taking these instructions seriously, it'll be a long time before you get there. So you want to get there, take these nice instructions. You'll get there more quickly and with less turmoil. Happier devotees and more devotees. Any comments or discussion on any of this? Yes?
You mentioned about the success of a congregation is more devotees and happy devotees. So we celebrate many festivals wherein the purpose is to glorify the Lord definitely, but also to attract new devotees.
Sure.
So, from your instructions, what I'm thinking is, first we should have a plan of how to get more devotees from a particular festival before planning for the festival. Is that correct?
How to get more devotees before planning the festival? That's what you said?
So, have a plan to take care of the new devotees that will be coming to the festival, to make sure that they come to the Sunday program and accept Krishna consciousness, then...
Both are required. Now, before, but both are required. I'm waiting for the third one, the bowing. Okay, it didn't happen. There we go. In any organization, both are required. It's not simply take care of our own members before we consider bringing new members or new guests. We want those new guests to have a nice experience, and they'll have a better experience if they see the qualities of the devotees who are together, happily interacting with one another, they'll think, wow, this is attractive. But part of that service that those have that are working together is taking care of the guests that are coming. It's not the only service, it's part of their service. So the two happen together. I'll give one example. Just this past weekend, I was in Seattle, and we had a Japa retreat. Very clearly, the focus of the Japa retreat was stronger spiritual standards for whoever came. But there were the people that volunteered, you know, the sharing at the end. They were the ones that were most enthusiastic to share first were the newcomers. And they were sharing the qualities that I've experienced amongst the people who are here. This is really attractive. Now, the activity was the happier devotees. But that was resulting in more devotees. Because those that follow, they saw that nice relationship and sacrifice and calmness and peacefulness and very, very jolly. Even when it was raining out, it was Seattle. And the kids couldn't go out and play, and they raised something. They had a little cabin for the kids and worked out. Very cooperative. Such a nice move. That was as meaningful to the newcomers as the spiritual strengthening experience of the Japa itself. So you could do it the other way. You know, just have an outreach thing where it's not for spiritual strengthening. It's just bringing newcomers, showcasing Krishna consciousness for newcomers at some kind of a festival. But because there's spiritual care, to the degree that there's spiritual care given to individuals, then the showcasing is going to be attractive. Because what we're showcasing is not just the product, we're showcasing ourselves, the qualities of the devotees. If the message is nice and our behavior is bad, so the two go together. Historically, it's been easier to do outreach without taking care of the devotees. So if your message is, let's pay more attention to taking care of the devotees, yay, I support that message. But actually, it's parallel. Both are very important. Something else? Yes.
You talk about several lines of authority.
Yeah.
Dual letters.
You picked up on that one.
I would like to have more about that.
Then
what is the scope of each? And in case of conflict, what the process?
Okay.
Whatever the
message. I'll just three quick points, because they're presenting a long paper, like a 30-something page paper. But three quick points. While the spiritual, looking from your side, the spiritual authority over here, the managing, governing authority over here. The spiritual authority, brahmanas are to be independent. Gurus are at the head. Sannyasis and gurus are at the head of the spiritual order. Voluntarily, they subordinate themselves to this governance structure. Just like Srila Prabhupada said, sannyasi, temple president, what's the problem? The sannyasi is to respect the authority of the temple president. He subordinates himself to that authority structure. If there's a problem, he goes to the president and says, I see a problem. Let's work this out. But he doesn't go above the person or behind the person or around the person and say, blah, blah, that this guy's not good. That's a no-no. He's to respect that governance structure. So, Vishnu Swami who is an initiating guru somewhere, comes to town. And there's the GBC zonal secretary and the temple president. And, you know, the people under the temple president. This paper says that while he may have, you know, disciple X, that disciple X is to be encouraged to follow this governance structure. If Vishnu Swami sees the disciple X may not be guided properly, he goes to that governance head and says, "My dear temple president, I have a concern about disciple X." What I understand is he's being engaged in a way that's against his nature, and it's very difficult for him. He's not chanting his rounds or something like that. You bring it to the governance head. You don't go to the disciple X and say, "You know, don't pay attention to this governance structure person. I don't like the way he's managing." You go to the governance structure and fix the problem at the top. Or at least have respectful dialogue. But the spiritual leader is to train disciples in such a way that that governance structure is understood and it's respected, and if it's respected, and if it needs attention, it's done on this level, not on this level. This is the happier devotees model. Because here's this person down here. I like my temple president, but I have obedience to my spiritual master. So now do I have to choose between two authorities? It's not the same, but it's something like a child where the mother and father are having a quarrel. Now I have to choose between my mother and father. Mom and Dad, can't you just work it out? Please, don't make me choose between one and the other. So, that's the happier devotee model. And the structure is, the governance persons must respect this individual who is the guru has spiritual authority. They respect the person, respect the authority they have over that person. They don't interfere with that spiritual authority they have over the person. At the same time, Prabhupada calls this in Srimad Bhagavatam Brahma Karya, where the spiritually directed person, through their role as a spiritual master, has great respect for the governance person. The exchange is particularly between Swayambhuva Manu and Karma Muni. Swayambhuva Manu being the Kshatriya, Karma Muni being the Brahmana. But they had such mutual respect for one another, it was very easy. So when there's mutual respect, it's really easy. And when there's not mutual respect, when Kali Yuga enters into that relationship, then it gets to be between the spiritual authority that the guru has over a disciple and the governance structure of that Prabhupada gave us. Then they need to work things out. So we need systems for working those things out. And the kinds of fostering the kinds of relationships where they can. And that starts with training people at this level. Because one day they'll be some other level, under the president or who knows. So the training of the principle of cooperation, so the training of the qualities of the devotees on all levels is very important in understanding this structure. So more detail coming soon. 30-page paper after it's been refined and refined and refined. Just giving you kind of like a rough picture. And then there's lots of, well, what if, you know, this detail or that circumstance or this dynamic, what do you do? So some of that's going to be covered too. Frequently asked questions. Yes?
Thank you for sharing this little instruction on
question is this: what were the challenges so far we faced? What are the challenges we are facing? And what are the challenges you're seeing it?
Here?
Globally.
Globally. I have my opinion. My opinion is more emphasis on quantity, insufficient emphasis on quality. That's my opinion. So I share with this Prabhu that, you know, before we plan expansion, not before, but more emphasis on quality, the training of the qualities of devotees. That's the problem we face, in essence. I think another problem, at least in North America, is this what you want me to do? The problem we face in North America?
Yes.
You want to go there?
Yes, please.
Yes, please? Okay. This is a sociological dialogue or comment. In the beginning of the Hare Krishna movement, when Srila Prabhupada was with us, those who were attracted to become members were young counterculture products persons. I was one of them. Not really, I mean, cultured, uncultured, but very enthusiastic. Book distribution, Harinam, the Hare Krishna explosion. Lots of people heard about and participated in. Very quickly, they participated in full time. They surrendered their lives to the Hare Krishna movement. Lots of book distribution, lots of Harinam, lots of growth, explosion. And then after some time, some of those persons realized, I'm best suited for being grihasthas, in the grihastha ashram. There was no vision for that. There's no sociological place for a householder in Krishna consciousness. You just like, you got married, you had to go outside. Because this is for, you know, this growth, this brahmachari expansion. So there are these people that they gave so much of their life, their youth, their energy, their intelligence, their vigor, their everything. And now, what? We had no arrangement for them. And I don't want to get too much into it, but the economy moved from book distribution to book distribution and paraphernalia to assist the book distribution to paraphernalia because it's more profitable. And then that system collapsed in North America for a variety of reasons. Now we have all these temples with, you know, without an economy. So we looked around and we realized, hey, we have to have a congregation. Because until that time, we didn't have a congregation. It was starting because there were all these devotees that now had become grihasthas, and they wanted to be. We didn't have any place for them. We didn't have a sense of congregation. And then we started getting a sense, hey, we need a congregation. So then this shift happened that became more congregational based, what we have now, and diminished and vanishing was the Harinam book distribution. And then in the course of time, the congregation started some Harinam and book distribution. Vaisheshika Prabhu is being, you know, the principal example, but showing by example how others can do it. And so now, the look around the room, the largely non-resident Indian population are the ones that are doing the book distribution in Harinam. Not exclusively, but a lot of it. And And then the youth, the family members are learning book distribution in Harinam. So, it's a change. Instead of the Americans speaking to the Indians, it's the Indians speaking to the Americans in North America. And there's a trend that's happening where now, unlike for maybe, this is from my experience as a sannyasi preacher in colleges, as was mentioned, for about 20 years there was very little interest in spirituality. It's now shifting the opposite direction, where attendance at programs, the same generic poster that we used to have kind of 30 years ago, 25 years ago, that was attracting the Western audience, is now attracting the Western audience. And the Indian student population is becoming less attractive. Whereas for those 15, 20 years, it was the opposite. Same poster, same place, same forum. And it was 90% non-resident Indian students, whether it's Bhagavad Gita or something, bridge. It's just, there's a sociological shift. Lots of young American people are taking interest. So there's, our leadership in North America is spending a lot of time and energy considering how to reach that audience. They want guidance. They want the real thing. They're misguided, but they want the real thing. So the challenge is we don't have those full-time people because the stable Indian family structure, they have nice jobs, nice education, nice home, and they're maintaining their families nicely. They're not able, and they're not in a position to become full-time devotees. The young American people perhaps can, but with that we're inviting another sociological dynamic that now we're a little more educated about how to deal with, because at one point in time they may need to get married. What are we going to do to prepare that so it's not the same thing repeated over again? So it's a maturing process in cycles of time. So the challenge is how to do those core activities in a sustainable way. How to have full-time devotees that we give proper devotee care to, not just for the time that they're doing full-time service, not just when the cow is giving milk, and then you don't have any use for the cow after the cow doesn't give milk anymore. How do we grow a community of devotees that's balanced, that has maturity and extended over a period of time, devotee care? It takes a lot of thought, a lot of energy, a lot of resource, a lot of planning, a lot of organization, a lot of care, not a spiritual care. It's a very nice time, very exciting time, with some of those challenges. If, just take this temple, if we had some full-time devotees that could work on promoting this new temple, the new temple would come up faster, but we don't have those full-time devotees. We have some part-time devotees that give the time that they can give. So it's happening more slowly than we would want it to happen. Hari Ramaprabhu is in a unique position. He's able to give his full time. Not everybody's able to do that. So we need more Hari Ramas. A few Hare Krishnas. Some full-time people. So we have to have the means of reaching them and the means of taking care of them. And that they're responsible people. They're properly trained, so they're responsible. That's with some core, the principle of like attracts like will work. It works. We need that core. Each place has to do it. It can't like import somebody from somewhere. It's not the system. Each place has to develop a structure like that, and persons that can do those nice services and support them like a family. Anything else? Yes.
Maharaj, you were saying, how ISKCON has evolved. Like, initially it was more of a brahmachari-oriented, where temple was everything for people. And then when Prabhupada left, and another 10 years it sustained it, and a lot of people, and then it shifted into this congregation-oriented. In that phase, what I understand, a lot of people left. So have we ever tried to go and reach out to those people and try to bring them back?
Sure, but it's not that their commitments have changed, but their lives have changed. Their lifestyle. They have a means to maintain themselves, and they need to continue maintaining themselves. What we need is warmth and friendship with those people, but they're not going to be able to come back and do full-time service. I mean, I'm thinking of specific people that are in that situation. Some persons have just become sour, and the best we can expect is for them to smile when they see devotees instead of, something else. But as far as, and there are conscientious efforts to reach out to those persons, perhaps not sufficient, but there are conscientious efforts to do that. I make an effort, because I travel, the course of my travels, to connect with some of those people. And the purpose of that connection is just, how's it going? And, sharing old times and sharing new times and sharing things that I'm reading and, friendship. Not so much, can you do something or give something or something. Just relational. And from their own heart, they can, come on to our festival or something like that. Would you like to distribute books at the Rath Yatra? Would you like to serve prasadam at the Rath Yatra? Would you like to cook something at the Rath Yatra? Would you like to pull the car? Like to do something? No, just come and tell me. Okay, fine. Warm. And if they want to do some service, then try to find some service. I've actively contacted, I would say, 10 people who were once in full-time service and they moved out to take care of their families and now their children are grown. Would you like, something? Here are some things that are going on. Let me know if there's something out of all this stuff that's going on that you'd like to participate in. I've found few couples that want to do something. And they're doing some things. Different levels. Yes?
I've come up with a solution. Little solution.
You have a solution? All right. Let's hear it.
But it's up to everybody, not...
Okay, everybody's solution. I like those kinds. Let's hear it.
So, if everybody is busy in grihastha right now, let their kids grow up and once they're married, their studies are complete, and once they are married, they're settled. Let's go one prastha, full time servant of God.
Yay! I like that. That's. What she's suggesting is encouraging, without details. There are specific families that I know that have that inclination. One devotee, Prabhupada disciple named Gadi, was living in Alachua, and he's now the temple president in the farm in Tennessee. Very nice devotee. Loves kirtan, really warm, effusive, kind-hearted person. He's temple president. Vatsal was in North Carolina, and his children are grown up. So he went and became the president of Hawaii. Running that operation. And he's going to be moving back to the mainland, what they call the lower 48, soon with his family.
Our teachings, should be so strong that everybody come to the, an idea of being one person only. For that, the teachings should be good to be a very good devotee.
On this topic of, you hear what she's saying?
No.
No. She's saying those that are grihasthas, when their children grow, get educated, get married, get settled, plan next phase, vanaprastha, full-time serving Krishna out of the home, somehow in the ISKCON structure. So I'm supporting that. And within this past week, I think it was Chandrasekhar Swami was asking, is there a formal vanaprastha ministry? There's a sannyasa ministry, there's a grihastha ministry, there's, you know, devotees that are looking after brahmacharis. Is there, what's going on in the vanaprastha area? So I told him, my response was that one devotee from Southeast Asia somewhere, I think Malaysia, but Jananda Swami, has he been here?
Yes.
Jananda Swami was grihastha, and he was really keen on establishing this vanaprastha ministry. He didn't find a lot of traction, like a lot of people that wanted to help him work on that. And he just took sannyas. And he's very happy. But what you're saying is something that's very much needed. It's one of those things that we speak about and then speak about it later and until that happens, speak about it later. It's really important, so like some guidelines, how to. And there's certainly different ways, but it's something like devotee care. There's different ways for different people. If there were a number of persons that were thinking along those lines and worked together, some that were already in that phase and some that were planning to be in that phase and some that, you know, whatever, different from different perspectives, discussing and mentoring, making available, you know, guiding people who want to go there, like the grihastha vision team, that's what they do, for those that are their experienced grihasthas, to help those that are wishing some association and some guidance. It's a huge, important service for the welfare of our society going into the future. Thinking of society-wide, but then thinking of individuals. I can think of families that if they had such a resource to go to, it would be enormous help in their spiritual lives, so individually and collectively. So it's one of those things that we talk about and then it doesn't happen. Somebody steps forward and then they fade back. It just hasn't...
But if the idea is here, we can think of some plan or solution. If the idea is here,
yeah,
something should be done.
Yes.
God is not small, then devotees are not small in number.
Yeah. As they say in Britain, hear, hear. There's support for what you're saying. How to move it into the world of action is the question that I have. I'll take your suggestion. Here's what I'll do. I'll take your suggestion and put it into the organization development suggestion box. That's got a lot of other messages in it, but it will, you know, the attention would be able to pay to it. It will make it probably into this International Leadership Sangha. It's got an acronym, ILS, for next Mayapur meeting. Some person should meet together and discuss that topic and form a committee, a working committee that grows that topic into something that has action to it. If you like, I can give your name to someone that's like, you're not ready for it, obviously, but something that you feel some, you know, it's important. And maybe they can call on you to do something. Maybe you can look up some references in scripture or something. It's like, you know, to build a document that talks about it. Okay, looks like we're ready from the back there with your announcements and stuff. You all ready? Okay, let's go. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.